Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Pam Harper is our guest, and she's one of the people who makes us a little smarter every time she joins us. Pam is the founder and the president of Business Advancement Incorporated, and she's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She's an outstanding management expert, and she's here to talk to us about something that's absolutely important all the time, but especially right now. Pam Harper, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Pam. The art of resilience is what you want to talk about, Pam, and I'll tell you, and let me say this, Pam, small business owners know all about being resilient. Because if you're not resilient, you don't get to remain as a small business owner for very long. So we all know about it. We all know about the need to be. We all know whether we're succeeding or failing in resilience. But I like the way you say this. You call it the art of resilience, and I'm glad you're saying it that way, because what you're telling us is, you know, you don't just have to muddle through this resilience thing. You can actually get better at it, can't you?
Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, I believe that before we can engage people's minds, we must engage their hearts. And obviously, there are real problems in the economy. You know, nobody can deny that. But I think that the situation has been greatly exacerbated by fear and panic responses. So the reason that I think about the art of resilience is we have to engage people's hearts so that they can focus their minds. And that is one part art and one part science, I guess.
Right, yeah.
That's where I am.
Well, I agree with you. And one of the things I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a moment and lay something on the table that I think is really important, Pam. So much of what's going on right now in the stock market, and let me stop for a second on that. Folks, remember, the Wall Street and Main Street are not the same thing. They're connected. They're associated. Sometimes, you know, the ugliness of one affects the other. But for the most part, they're two different worlds. And what we're getting a lot of right now, Pam, is we're getting a lot of negative stuff on Wall Street.
We sure are. The newspapers are full of it, and that is part of the problem.
Well, and the television and that's exactly right. But see, here's the thing that I like to point out, Pam. This is based back to one of your points. A lot of the problems we've got right now is because securities that were based on mortgages are not being traded. Nobody wants to value those securities. Nobody wants to place a value on them. And yet, because the accounting rules require these companies to mark them to whatever they can sell them for, when nobody wants them, that means it's zero. Now, here's the point that I want to make real quick. The mortgages inside of those securities, the underlying assets of those securities, 99% of them are performing.
Pam,
I'm making my mortgage payment. You probably don't have a mortgage, but if you did, you'd be making yours.
Exactly the point.
And
there is good news.
What I mean about the underlying economy. We have to differentiate, Pam, and I think this is part of the art of resilience. We have to differentiate between the real and the imagined. And what's real is people have jobs, people have money to spend, people have houses that they're making payments on. They're not defaulting on their houses at 1% of houses, I think, or something like that. It's a ridiculously low number of houses, of mortgages that are in default right now. And so the economy is not, there's nothing broken about the economy other than some of these mortgages. But yet our financial markets have been broken because of what you said.
And that's the emotional part. It's true, and that's why it's so important for us as leaders of our businesses to provide perspective for us, first of all, to take it. Just as you were saying, Jim, it's important to realize that a lot of things can appear one way, but that there's more to the story, just as you said.
I'm going to give you another example. Now, I don't know what unemployment rate is today, but about 3 weeks ago, it was 6.1%. Now, everybody started wringing their hands. Oh, my goodness, it's 6.1%. Well, guess what, folks? In Europe, it's 10% or more. And guess what else, Pam? Over the last 30 years, 6.1% is lower than the 30-year average.
Yes.
So, you know, but we don't hear, oh, 6.1%. We've got, if part of the art of resilience, it seems to me, Pam, is to know what's true and to know what's false and avoid the false.
Absolutely true.
Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Pam Harper right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. We built them for you. Pamela Harper is our guest and a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock, and she and I are talking about the art of resilience and also the practice, not just the art, but the practicing of being resilient, right?
That's right. And again, you know, regardless of the times, whether we're in good economic times or bad economic times, resilience is important because there are always setbacks that we encounter. It's a natural part of being in business. So this is a natural, ongoing kind of thing to do, not just to haul it out when times are not as good as you'd like.
You almost have to put it on as a sheet, as a suit of armor, don't you?
Well, you do. I mean, think of it as something that is constantly being practiced. And I think that the first point that we hit on in the last segment, that it takes perspective to be able to have that, always, always, to be saying, we've hit a challenge, whatever that challenge is, what is the big picture? What is it that's really happening? Take it from a broader perspective. You know, I take my news from many, many places because I don't trust just one source. And you'll find that good news is all around us. In fact, your sponsor, IBM, in fact, had some good news that was reported, but it was buried.
They had great earnings news that was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But as you say, it got buried. And even though their stock kind of hung in there, it didn't do what you thought it would have done on based on the news.
But the whole point of this is to say there is good news. People are still buying, but they are buying differently, and that's what's important to begin to think about as a business owner, is what are your customers doing? What are their new needs? And, of course, you have competitors, so focusing on how you can increase your market share is much more productive than thinking about, oh, this is going wrong and that's going wrong. How can you increase market share? People are still buying. And, of course, we've seen that as times change, there are constantly new needs that are being uncovered. Think about after 9/11 and all the ribbon manufacturers that had sudden demands. And, of course, there are banks that are growing and financial institutions that are growing at the same time as others are not.
That's exactly right. I mean, I called my banker, talked to him twice in the last 2 weeks, and you know, he says we're doing fine. We didn't invest in some of the stupid stuff some of the banks did. All banks aren't doing badly.
That's right. So I
and he also said we're ready to loan money to small businesses right now.
That's exactly the point. So I challenge everybody out there to say, your competitors are out there. How can you increase market share? What is it that you can be doing differently or better to increase market share? That's the first question to ask.
Right.
And once you've asked that question, the next thing to talk about with yourself and also with other people in your organization, no matter how small your organization is how can you find new ways to achieve long-term performance objectives? And that seems sort of strange, perhaps, to be thinking about the long-term when so many people are going, survival, survival, that's what we need to be thinking about. I say that survival can get you into trouble. When you're thinking survival, you get into trouble because you make decisions based on the short term instead of thinking about the long term.
Well, and you and think of yourself, you know, we're all in kind of a war here. The marketplace sometimes can be compared to a war zone. And if you're thinking about survival, that means you're in a foxhole with your head down.
Well, that's right. And think
and
about
you're not seeing about what's going on.
That's right, Jim. Think about the kinds of decisions you make when you're just thinking about survival. You can actually shoot yourself in the foot. For example, what is one of the first things that people do when they're thinking survival? They think about cutbacks. They think about cutbacks in training. They think about cutbacks in staff.
Investment.
Well, here's the thing. I go into stores all the time, and if there's nobody there to serve me, then I'll go somewhere else.
Right.
And think about that in every business. If we're not getting the type of service that we need, then it has nothing to do with the economy. I'm going to go somewhere else.
When I talk to audiences and my radio audience about these things, you know, I remind them that, you know, look, when do you think this is going to be over? Whatever we're in right now, when do you just imagine when you think that's going to be over? A year from now, 18 months from now, 2 years, whatever. Imagine that day when you think we're going to say, okay, that's over. Do you still plan on being in business that day? If you do, you can't stick your head in the sand.
Exactly.
You got to be thinking about you got to be looking forward to that day, not tomorrow.
We have to be positioning ourselves for the next step. So it really is beneficial to be thinking about how can we more creatively deal with short-term challenges so that we're ready to be there after things swing around more in our favor. And one of them is to be thinking about defining the issues that we're facing in some new ways. Sometimes what happens is that we define an issue so narrowly, we make assumptions about what we can and cannot do, that it cuts us off. So, for example, training. I'm going to go back to that because it's one of the things that I see people sacrificing.
Would you hold on to that thought for a minute, Pam? We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We have to do some short-term stuff here. So we have to sell some stuff short-term. We're going to be right. Yeah, folks, now you got to, you know, even though we're thinking long-term here, you still got to put rocks in the box today. So don't forget that. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Pam Harper is our guest. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Pam Harper is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. And Pam, I'd like for you to give us your website and tell us what you're up to these days.
Well, the website is www.businessadvance.com. And as far as what I'm up to, the Art of Resilience is actually now a keynote and workshop, and I'm very excited about that. I've already had requests for it, and I think in these times, thank you, and I think in these times it's very important for every company to know, every organization actually.
So if somebody wanted to contact you about getting you to help their organization become a little more resilient, they could find that information on the website?
They can indeed contact me through pharper@businessadvance.com or to call me at 201-612-1228.
What about the book? It's on your website, too?
The book is on my website. The book is at Amazon. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Preventing Strategic Gridlock.
Pam,
when we went to the break, you were saying you had some thoughts on training you wanted to mention.
Yes. I think the thing that people do tend to cut back on quite a bit is training, and that is shooting yourself in the foot because, of course, the world is changing. Training is not a luxury. It's a necessity because there is new equipment out there. There are new issues, new legislation. There are all kinds of things that employees need to constantly be improving their competencies on. And the question is, how can you do it if you don't have all the money that you think you need to have? Cross-training is a perfect example of how you can do it. In fact, if you look at new ways to train people, there are so many ways that don't have to take a lot of money. But I think the training, even when you do go outside of your organization, it is always an investment. It can always be something that's...
There's an irony to training and to improving your systems. There's an ironic cycle that goes on. Whenever you have all the money you need to do stuff like that, you don't do it because you say, "Man, we're so busy. We're doing great. I don't want to change anything, and frankly, we don't have time. I can't send my people for training because I need them to take care of customers." And so then whenever you have a little more time because the economy's off a little bit, your business is off a little bit, you've got a little more time, then you say, "Oh, I can't afford it because I don't have the money." Well, you know what, folks? You got to break that ironic cycle, don't you, Pam?
You do. You have to make the time. You never have time for anything. You never have money. You have to, set things aside. And it's like the practice of martial arts, for example. You can't just go out there and be a master overnight. You have to constantly be ready.
There are some things that big companies do that we need to try not to do because I think it's there to their own detriment. But there are certain things that big companies do really well that the small businesses should really take a lesson from, and one of them is training. If there's one thing big businesses do well, they train their people. Good times, bad times.
And they find new ways to do it, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important. Another thing that is also important about resilience, of course, is communicating credibly with your stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
And by stakeholders, I mean anybody who is impacted or impacts your company, your business.
Employees, customers, vendors.
Suppliers, outsourced providers. I mean, there's a wide range of people, right down to your family members. And the thing is that these days with websites and media and all kinds of ways that people stay in touch, it's easy to say one thing to one set of stakeholders, and then if you've said something else to another set of stakeholders, it comes back to haunt you. So if you're saying everything's okay, okay, okay to people you want to think is okay, 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 and then you say, "Oh, this is terrible," to other people, it's going to come back at you.
Yeah.
The key is being credible and, most of all, making sure that your words and actions match what others perceive.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most credible kind of communication.
People pay more attention to your values based on what you do than they do based on what you say.
That's right. And they also take messages from what is not said.
Yeah.
So sometimes people think, "Oh, if I just don't say anything, they won't think about it." Well, that's not true.
Pam, I've really enjoyed hearing you talk about the art of resilience. I think your message today and the one that you've developed for other audiences, which I'm glad you're doing that, I think is very appropriate for the time that we're in right now, the circumstances that we have. Give us the website one more time, please.
That's businessadvance.com.
You can find out all about Pam, and you can find her book there and all the other things at that website. Hey, Pam, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
Pam Harper, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.